So 2020, I like that. This is the only time in all of history, really, unless we have another event that starts us over at zeros, that we get a chance to have a year that represents perfect vision. 2020, and I just think, I mean, we didn't plan to spend like 3.5, 4 years working through renewing the focus, but how appropriate that we've now turned the page. We're turning a chapter in our history as a church from renewing the focus for years to a place where now our focus has been renewed in 2020. I think that's kind of neat how that coincides. I don't think God was postponing us until then. But if it fits, it fits, you know, as they say, that'll preach. So, but yeah, 2020, year of vision, year of reaching out, a year of really getting, just really seeing the rubber hit the road for Miamitown Church of Christ. I believe that we've been waiting for this time. We've been building towards it. We've been doing a lot of healthy things, and we're ready to reap the harvest of all of that work and all of that effort and all of the heart that has gone into all of where we are right now. So as we look at this past year and the year ahead, this is kind of I'd heard of other people doing this, and I thought, well, I'll have to look into that. That seems like an interesting idea for a transition from the last year into the new year of kind of a State of the Union, although that might bring up negative connotations for different people here, but a state of the church. Where do we stand? Where are we at right now, Miamitown? Where are we coming from? What are we heading toward? So this past year and the year ahead, we're just going to talk about two sections today. One section just about some things that we're doing well, some successes that we've got, some strengths that we have, and then how to take the next step on those. How to take them into the next step, how to turn them up a little bit. And then some areas that are some obvious areas here that we are going to need to focus on in 2020. So that we can continue to move forward, so we can continue to see some great things happen here. If you would, can I pray with you before we get started with that, the meat of it? Father, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done here at Miamitown. We have watched you move. We have felt you move. We have witnessed your guidance, your leadership, your sovereignty, your lordship. We've witnessed your heart in our hearts. We've witnessed your compassion in our compassion. Father, thank you so much for revealing yourself to us, not through Jesus, not only through Jesus, but also in the many, many different intimate times that you do that with us and the way that you've done that with us as a church. And we thank you for that. Jesus would be enough. But you continue to reveal yourself. You continue to show yourself. You continue to show up. And we thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's go on and write this first one down. We'll just some recent kingdom successes and the next step. Okay, so kind of next step. That the tense felt weird on that. But it's successes. And on each of these successes, kind of what does it take to move them to the next level? So I probably, if I would have... This was a broken week for me, so maybe I would have had a little more time. I could have made that sentence sound better. But you guys get where I'm coming from, right? Okay, successes, and in each success, taking them one step further. So the first one that I think that it's pretty obvious about our church, we care. We care and we pray, don't we? Yes? Numerous times in Jesus' ministry, I mean, across the Bible, you see God's compassion for mankind, but numerous times through Jesus' ministry, you see God with flesh on, you see God with hands and feet and words and eyes, and you see the compassion that Jesus has. And it's noted multiple times through the Gospels that Jesus had compassion on them, and then he acted. He had compassion, and then he cared for them. He had compassion, and he reached out for them. He had compassion, and he took care of them. And all of that was rooted in this compassion. And as a whole, I believe that we as a church, we genuinely have this God-like compassion in our hearts. And I think that's a part of the personality of Miamitown Church of Christ. And I think it's beautiful. I think it's so beautiful for us to have that. And it's biblical. Just a couple, as if I need passages on these two subjects, but just a couple passages. One on the compassion side, or the comfort side of things, the pastoral care side of things. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles he comforts us so that, we can comfort others, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So what we receive from God, we pass on to others. We receive comfort from the God of compassion, the Father of compassion, the God of comfort, to word it exactly the way Paul words it here. We experience that comfort so that we can comfort others, and we do a good job with that, church. Okay, some of this is a little bit of a pat on the back, and that's okay. We're celebrating in the Lord. Mike could not have picked a better, which is really, I was sitting there listening to that, and I thought, this is funny, because he was inspired by something I brought up last week, and his little devotion here makes perfect, it's a perfect launch into today, because I don't have to talk about that it's a great thing to celebrate what the Lord has done, and these are things that the Lord has done, amen? And so we can celebrate these things with a right heart. Prayer. I mean, prayer is throughout Scripture. Don't really need to bring up a passage there, but one of the passages that does come to mind is from Ephesians 6, where Paul is talking about the armor of God. And he gets all the full soldier of God armored out, and everything's detailed. And then he ends that section by saying this right here in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So we pray. We pray for other people. We pray for each other. We pray for the gospel moving forward. And this definitely should be a strength in the church, and it is definitely a strength in our church. So how do we turn it up? How do we turn that up a little bit? Take, for instance, our prayer quilt ministry. We have 5 prayer quilts back there, right? Okay, so we have 5, and that we've reached 400, is that right? 400 and plus. So we're heading towards 500 prayer quilts. Probably make that this year, correct? Probably do about 100 a year. We're up to that. Maybe now. Maybe. Another request. So there'll be 6. Wow. So we have a prayer quilt ministry. Super, super cool ministry. A ministry that touches. We've heard many stories. I remember Tammy having her big biker friend after a motorcycle accident, and he sleeps. Does he still sleep with it? When he was recovering, I know for a fact, when he was recovering, he slept with that prayer quilt because there was a comfort there. Those prayer quilts, they show compassion. They show that we care. It comforts. It shows that we are praying for them, and it's a reminder that we're praying for them because they matter. Those are all great things. So how do we take that? How do we take the next step on that? What if there are ways to increase the comfort of that ministry, to build on that, to reach out more, to offer more, and not just talking about more prayer quilts, but more in that direction? The prayer quilts communicate that they matter to us, that we care about them, that we're praying for them. But what if there were another ministry to come along to work with the prayer ministry, that would reach out and build a relationship with those that have been touched by the prayer quilts, to take that the next step further? Instead of just a prayer quilt, which is awesome, I'm not putting that down, I'm just saying let's stand on their shoulders. That's what you would want. I hope any ministry in our church would want each other to be standing on each other's shoulders and reaching higher, to be able to come along after and be able to build a relationship with those people and whatever their need is to be able to figure out how we can continue to serve them as a church and continue to build a relationship with them, continue to show them that they care. This is a great open door. We've opened 400 doors in the past. How many years have you guys been doing it? Four, five? 2011. Wow, it's been that long. So we're going on 9 years this year. 400 doors have been opened that way. How awesome would it be to take that to the next step, to invest in them more? I mean, that's our mission statement, growing in God, investing in what? People. Our core value number four, actively investing. Core value number five, connecting with people. It's just thinking, how can we turn this up? How can we take it just even more? Another success that we have is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. It says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. That's pretty cool. This is a strength I have heard many times that this is a strength of our church, that we warmly welcome guests. So let's go and write that down. We warmly welcome guests. I've talked with many of our guests, and after a few visits, or even it's even after the first one, but definitely after a few, when I get a chance to build a relationship with them a little bit and get to talk with them a little more, and I find out that first Sunday, that they were warmly welcomed. It was sincere. It was genuine. It was real. That's a difficult balance to get here. I think we do a very good job when we are connecting with people there, to be able to warmly welcome someone, but not to make them feel like, you know, it's piranhas at a feeding fest. You know, it's just, you know, everybody's on. So I think we do a good job to make them feel welcome, but not so, you know, craziness like, whoa, enough. I don't want to go back there because, wow, that was just too much. It was too intense. So I think we do a good balance there, because the people that are touched, they feel warmly welcome. They feel comfortable, and that's what that does. We do a good job. We don't overdo it. To turn that up, how do we turn that strength up? That's definitely a strength. Definitely a strength. To turn that up to the next level, it means being even more alert. It means very intentional, not just doing it on a natural basis, but being very intentional about our guests. We had our new youth minister, David, who will be here this coming weekend. In fact, I need to find out what day is going to work for some people better, Friday or Saturday, to help him move in. He can be here earlier, just in case. I know the elders got an email saying he was going to get here Saturday, but pretty sure he can get here Friday now. So he said, whichever day you can get people for me. Friday night I've got something. Saturday daytime I've got something. Saturday night I'm free. So if I can have some people say, hey, I'll head that up and I'll go meet David at Shaker's Point and we'll help him unload the truck, that would be awesome. But when David was here, the search team knew he was here. The elders knew he was here. Some of our children's and youth work, actually all of our children's and youth workers knew that he was here. We wanted him to experience a Sunday as a guest. So we purposefully, you know, stepped away and we didn't do anything. But to a lot of you here, he was just a guest, a brand new guest, never been here before. He'd never seen his face before. And when I talked to him afterwards, he said, no one talked to me. I was like, really? Normally, we're really good about that. He said, well, it wasn't until after the service. And a few people come up to me and talk to me after the service. But before the service, he came in, he sat down, and he just sat there. Single guy, sitting by himself. And so we need to be more intentional. That means keeping our eyes open and watching how things go. I know John and Jenny, same basis, you know. I didn't greet David because I knew who he was. John and Jenny, was it the first Sunday or second Sunday? It was the first Sunday you guys are here. I greeted them. But then they said that it was weeks, right? Weeks before someone else introduced themselves to them. And that's, I mean, they're still here, which is awesome. But that's not going to happen with everybody. That greeting them before the service is very important. And the greeters, that's a nice touch. Our greeters do a great job. I know Tammy's like super excited about that ministry. And all of our greeters do a great job with greeting. And that's an important touch, to be able to say hi, open the door, give them a bullet and all that. But in a lot of guests' minds, they're doing that because it's their job to do that. They're manning the door, they're womaning the door, they're personing the door. And even though it's a nice touch, what the meaningful touch is just a church person coming up to them in the worship center and introducing themselves and saying, "Hi, my name is so-and-so. I don't know if I've seen you here before." You know, not, "Are you new here?" That always puts them in a, you know, "I don't know if I've seen you here. Have I met you yet?" That puts it on you. "Have I met you yet?" You know. And then if they have been here 5 times, they can say, "Well, no, I haven't met you here. This is our 5th time being here." And then you're like, "Wow, okay, yes, should have jumped on that." But if it's their first time, then they get a chance to offer that information. Say, "Hey, I don't know if I've met you yet. Well, this is my 1st time here." "Oh, okay, well, my name is so-and-so. It's very nice to meet you, da da da." You know, and so it's very easy to do that, but we're going to be very intentional because we don't want people to fall through the cracks, do we? No? We have the hard part down. That's what's awesome. We have the hard part is being authentic and genuine, and anytime when we really touch people, they feel warmly welcomed across the board. All we need to do is make sure we touch them. And so all it does is take us to be a little more focused, a little more alert, a little more wary, and to keep our eyes open and to not just be about us in our little circles, but to keep our eyes open of new faces. And if you see a new face and you see someone talking to them, then give them space, because we don't want the piranha thing. Okay, I don't want to counter this. I want to pendulum way over here and mess something up that's good. But you see them talking to somebody, you give them space. Maybe you go up to them after the service and you be another touch. That's very meaningful. Or maybe you catch them the next Sunday. You're like, "All right, I'm going to file them away. They look like they're having a really good conversation with the Metzlers, and so I'm just going to let them have a conversation and develop and grow that relationship." Sometimes you come into that and you can break up something that's starting, and you don't want to do that either. So you just file that away, and you think, next time I see that person, I'm going to be the first person to greet them that next Sunday, and I'm going to build a relationship with them also. And then you got 2 people, and you got 3 people, and that's what keeps them coming here. That does, building that relationship and connecting, and that gives them something real and meaningful to connect to. So the hard part we've got, not an issue. It's just being more intentional. We can do that, can't we? Yeah, it's not a hard thing to turn that one up. It's already a success. It's already a strength we have. We want everyone to experience that, don't we? Yes? Yeah. We're good at it. Let's be good at it all the time. Not just most of the time. And that brings us to the next one, too, is that we are authentic. Let's write this down. We are authentic. That's why our warm touches are warm touches, because they're real. That's why when we care and we pray for people, that connects, that touches people, because we're authentic. You can't, that's an intangible, as Craig Rochelle would say. I think it's Craig Rochelle. When he talks about intangibles in a place, either a business or a church or wherever you are, when you enter somewhere, there are intangibles. I mean, you have the tangibles like the color or the setting, the, you know, whatever you're sitting on or what the stage looks like or different things. But there's that intangible, just this feeling. And we are authentic as a church, and that is a huge thing. Because I think a lot of churches are coming, and this is not a comparison. I'm trying not to do that today. But I think in our day and age, how can I say this? My observation, my opinion is that we have a lot of churches that are not coming across as authentic because it's a smoke and light show. It's a production. We don't have that here. And I think that is a huge strength. It is a huge, and it's something that I have, it's personal to me. Because it's a personal lifestyle that I live. I've always shared that with you guys, that I just want to be real. I want to be authentic. Sometimes I feel like I'm a little too authentic, and I lose some traction as a leader because I'm a little too transparent sometimes. But if I'm going to err, I'd rather err too transparent than come across stiff or fake or, you know, hypocritical or whatnot. And so for me, it's a joy to see that our church is that way. I hope that there's been some influence that I've had to foster that And to even bring that out more richly, maybe like some salt on some meat. You know, the meat's already there. The meat tastes good, but you season it a little bit, just brings that flavor out a little bit. And that we're authentic and we're real, and that shows. And that's a big deal when we're connecting with people. Nothing, I guess, on the positive side, scripture-wise, and I don't have anything up on the screen, but this is a big deal to me because it was a big deal to Jesus. In Matthew 23, Jesus talks about the seven woes to the Pharisee, to the Pharisees, and they are strong. They are, you can go read them later. The reference is right there. No, it's not. I left that reference out because it wasn't a positive reference. So I didn't want you to go and read that and go, wait a minute, this isn't positive. But it's Matthew 23 if you want to write that down. Double check that and make sure I'm right. Yes, Matthew 23. And seven woes that Jesus gives to the Pharisees. And really the big umbrella over it is you're fake. You're disingenuous. You're false. You're not being real. You're not authentic. And it's something that Jesus stands against, and it's something that I totally get. I'm there with him. And we don't have that here. And I think that's awesome. And how many times have you heard me say that the best witness is a transparent, authentic relationship with God? Many times, probably from day one, because that was a personal ministry philosophy of my own in my own life for years and years and years. When we care for people, it's genuine, it's authentic. When we pray for people, it's genuine, it's authentic. When we greet someone here, it's genuine, it's authentic. Our worship comes across genuine, authentic. The preaching, and whoever it is up here, we've set some standards at our church. The greeters, downstairs the children's workers, across the board. It's a strength that we have. It's a good thing, a very good thing. So what do we do? How do we turn that up? Well, the only thing I could look at that and how to turn it up is just to make sure we don't mess it up. Sometimes turning something up is just making sure it continues on. Okay, we don't want to lose that. As we grow, or as maybe we get comfortable, or as things increase and things are better and better, we can't lose that root. Because that root gives us something that I really feel is unique, and something that when someone comes in here off the street, someone that's not going to church, or maybe someone that is going to church, and it just feels fake. I think it's very refreshing to come into a church like ours and go, wow, these are real people with real problems, real struggles, a real faith, worshiping a real God with real emotions, with all of that. That's a really good thing. So we just, my advice there for our church, all of us, just make sure we don't mess that up. Can we do that? Can we make that effort? Because that's really good. It's really, really, really good. All right, a couple other things here. Renewing the focus. Let's write that down. Another kingdom success that we've experienced recently is renewing the focus. There's been so many good things come from that journey. It's been super healthy for our church. It's brought a unity to our church. It's brought some momentum to our church, some motivation to our church. Our leadership has grown tremendously through this. We've learned a lot about our community. We've learned a lot about ourselves through this journey. We have a mission statement that is clear, concise, solid, biblical. Six words, growing in God, investing in people. We have five solid core values that we can build on, whatever God's vision is for us specifically. Those core values don't have to move or shift or change. They are solid. They are foundational core values that we can stand on and build any ministry that God leads us to. We can build on those five core values. They're solid. We've come through a really nice journey here. How can we turn that up? One, don't forget where we've come from. We have to keep remembering we learned these things, we know these things, we know some of the things about our community, we know some of the things about ourselves. We can't take all of that energy and just forget it tomorrow. Okay, so we have to file that and keep that in the forefront of our mind, all the things that we've learned through renewing the focus. And as we press forward, we have to embrace what's on the way. We have to take what's on the way and say, okay, This is what we've worked for. We've put years of time into this, energy, effort, emotion. And we can't get on the brink of this 2020 and say, all right, here's what we're going to do, and go, whoa, we have to keep moving forward on this. Otherwise the journey just was a lot of wasted effort. And I'm not in it for that. I don't think you guys are either. Our mission statement must be our goal as a church. That has to be our mission statement as a church. Not just me, not just the leadership, not just certain people in the church. Our church as a whole. That's our goal. That's where we're headed. That's our direction. And how else can we turn this up? We're working right now on some focus groups that are a 3-year short vision. That needs to expand into a 5-year and a 10-year vision, and it will. Leadership will be all over that. These focus groups and things are going to come out of that. That's going to open up some doors. And so that's going to be super positive. But we can't just stop and say, okay, here's a 3-year thing. We're going to make the place look a little better, improve our publicity, and get involved in a couple outreach ministries. Okay, we did it. No. That's the beginning. So we have to keep pressing forward. Another strength that we have, and I want to read some scriptures here that go along with this strength. Maybe you guys can pick up on what the next one is. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:13, second half of that verse says, live in peace with each other. Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to live in what? Peace. You're picking up a pattern there. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone. So a recent kingdom success that we've had is living at peace with each other. Let's write that down. That's biblical. It feels good, doesn't it? Yes? It feels good for me. I tell you what, having a few years of peace here has been amazing. It's been wonderful. It's been good for the soul. It's been good for the heart. It's been good for the physicality. It's been good for everything. And I don't think it's just me. I think it's every one of us. Peace is good. This has been good, and it's biblical. We should be living at peace with each other. There's no reason we shouldn't be. And this is strength right now. It's something to be celebrated right now. It's something to praise God for. It's something that we know that He is for. He is behind. He's fueling. And we're living at peace with each other. And it's nice. It is nice to have that. It is scriptural. And I want us to remember this, because it's easy to have peace at a plateau, but when we start going for some traction, when we start hitting the incline, when you're riding that stationary bike and you got the little downhill or the straight stretch, you know, but then it starts on the incline and you feel it kicking in, and the legs and the thighs, and you're feeling it burn, and you're like, oh man, this is not as easy as it was a few minutes ago. And we're going to have to remember, peace is still super important. It's going to take more effort to have peace when we're starting to get some traction, when things are moving forward, when there's a little bit of friction with some things, and having to go, okay, well, this is where we need to head, and it means that I'm going to have to lose some of my heart on some things, and I'm going to have to look at the collective and move, and that's gonna cause us to, when you've got this opinion and this opinion, and you're like, well, this is, there's going to be some challenges to our peace. Take this time right now and file it away and remember it, and remember, this is how church should feel. Amen. This is what it should be like. And let's remember this when we come into those times when we are moving forward, where there's going to be a little bit of a push and pull on things. And say, you know what? I choose peace. I choose peace with my brothers and sisters. I mean, those verses weren't just continue in your peacefulness. It was like, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. It has to rule. It has to be in charge. The peace of Christ has to be over all of the other things. Live at peace with each other. And in Hebrews, he says, make every effort. Writer of Hebrews, knowing peace doesn't always come easily. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone. So we have to be mindful of that. And then one more strength of our church, and this is, This is a weird one to bring up. I just have to come out because it has to do with what I do. But I've heard multiple times from multiple people that one of the strengths of our church is the preaching. It's solid preaching. We're going to write that down because that's just, it is what it is. And I don't get a chance to get out much. I'm here 49 Sundays a year. The last 6 years, I've preached 48 of those, which is more than what church leaders say you should be preaching every year. But I don't get a chance to get out much. I don't get a chance to see what's out there. I know Walt gets a chance to go out with the different ministries he's got. I've heard from other people that have gone somewhere else to visit with a friend, or they've been out of town and been to a church or whatnot. And they come back and they say, what we have is not normal out there. And I'm like, really? I'm like, no, it's not. It's like Christianity 101 everywhere. And I mean, yeah, Jessica's sitting here shaking her head. So we dig in here. I think you guys enjoy it. I love it. We get in the scripture. And that's not something that you guys don't have to worry about me getting a big head. I've shared with you guys many times, I love the gift that God's given me. But just because he gave me this gift and gave you a different gift doesn't mean that my gift or I who have this gift is more important than your gift or you who have your gift. Our gift comes from the same Spirit. Amen? Don't be afraid to share this with other people. I think if it's a strength, that's something that if people are not getting it other places, and trying hard not to be a comparison type thing, but it's just what I've heard. If they're not getting it other places and you know where they can get it, then why aren't we sharing, hey, in my church we get into some difficult topics you might not hear about other places. We dig into things. In our church, we hear the Bible. I mean, even today, we have some scripture. This is a very thin scripture sermon for me, but it's still rooted in scripture. We get into the word. You guys, I've heard many times from you. I learn things. I get emails and conversations back and forth there and conversations after church or phone calls midweek or whatnot. And, you know, the things that God's word was shared with me in a way that connected and made a difference in my life. I can take the things I learn from God's word at Miami Town Church of Christ, and I can put it into practice on Monday. It helps me to be a better person for God's kingdom. It helps me to be a better person for those around me. You can share that. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? And to be able to share, you can come here. And it's not a competition thing. If we have something good, then we have something good. So it's a strength. And that's how we can turn it up. We can turn it up by talking about it, sharing, because that's important. And I had a scripture. Let's go and skip that scripture. It's not, it's just talking about having scripture. It was just a scripture. I've talked about how I have scriptures on my walls, and it was just a scripture just assuring you guys that I believe my competence comes from God. And the scripture's in your... Maybe it's not. Go on and write this down. Well, 2 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6. 2 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6. And we'll just skip on to the next point so we can keep rocking and rolling here. So we have strengths, and we have some ways that we can turn those up and act on them and make them even better. And that's great stuff. And we have strengths that are core, which is really cool. We don't have little frilly little, you know, fluffy strengths. We have strengths that are, I mean, it's the core. It's right there. If you got a strong core, you're good. So what are some things that are going to challenge us? We have some very clear areas that we're going to need to step it up in, areas of growth. Since I've been here, I've witnessed something that's been a part of our personality as a church, that we have many different ministries in our church. And we've had many different ministries that have been very good ministries, and they've been very good ministries on their own, but they all seem to exist independently of the other ministries in our church. And just through the years, and I don't know what I can do to help move this, but I want to do what we can. I think now's the time to look at this and face it and say, okay, we need to do something about this to move forward with synergy. We miss out on the synergy that we could have. We've got a great ministry, a great ministry, a great ministry, a great ministry, and they all operate in their own little circles apart from each other. And we miss out on what we could have, because the idea of synergy is the sum of the parts is greater than the whole. Did I say that right? The sum of the parts is greater than the whole. The sum of the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Something like that. You get the point. When you come together, you have something bigger than what the sum of all your parts would be. 2 + 2 + 2 is not 6 with synergy. That somehow becomes 9 because it's synergy, because it's working together. And I think we miss that. And this sits under an umbrella. And we're going to write this down, and I'll continue to unpack this a little bit, because there are two topics underneath this umbrella. And that is just, how is it worded? Here we go. One in the body. We just said that we're at peace. We are. We're at peace. Just follow me on this. One in the body. So one way that we need to be better at being one in the body is this subject right here. Our ministries need to work more collectively and in the same direction. Okay, our mission statement, our core values is going to help greatly with this, but it's not going to help if it's just me up here talking about our vision or our mission and our core values, or our elders supporting those or talking about them themselves or having it on our website or having it. It's great to communicate it. We need to communicate it. We've been trying to communicate it ad nauseum, because that's how you do with a mission statement and core values. But it's not going to take off until our church as a whole comes together as one body and says, this is what we're doing. We're growing in God. We're investing in people. Every ministry we do is doing that together, collectively, in the same direction. Every individual in this church, every ministry in this church is devoted to God. God is first. That we're going to do whatever it takes to move God's kingdom forward. That we're going to actively invest. That we're going to connect with people. And when that's the core of what we're doing, and we start to meld and move and blend all these ministries together, we're going to see a synergy like we've never seen before here at Miami Town. Because I have a feeling that this is a part of the personality that's existed long before I even came on board here. Because it's a part of the personality I've witnessed the whole time I've been here. And great ministry, great ministry, great ministry, great ministry. But they're not really coming together and going, oh, now we're feeling it. Now we're getting it. And we got the children's area doing their thing. And we got the greeters doing their thing. I already said they do a great job. We know the children's workers do a great job. And we've been, how many years? It'd be 14. So going on 6 years, so it'd be 5 years in the interim without a youth minister. And then a number of years without a children's director. Our youth program's been going pretty good for a church with no one leading it. So we've got great workers. They're down there, they're doing their thing. The greeters are doing their thing. The decorating team does their thing. We've got the worship team doing their thing, the prayer quilt ministry doing their thing, and these are all very good ministries. But they could be much, much more productive for our church working together collectively. And that's going to take us to think, how can I connect with this ministry, with the ministry I'm involved in? How can this ministry make this ministry better? Instead of just thinking about our own ministry, to start thinking, how can I work with this other ministry over here to grow in God and invest in people? And that's what's going to help us to overcome that, because that can be a huge obstacle for us. I think it has been for years, and it's time to move on and to move forward with that. And the passages of scripture there in your bulletin. All of those passages, the Romans 12, the 1 Corinthians 12, the Ephesians 4, right? I didn't have those in front of me there. They're all the passages about the body. Okay, and if we have an eye over here doing its thing, and we have a leg over here doing its thing, and an ear over here doing its thing, and we say, you know what? We've got good eyes. We've got 20/20 vision. We've got good hearing. We can hear all the things that we need to hear, all the spectrum of all the decibels, or all, not decibels, but all the different wavelengths that we're supposed to hear. We can hear all those things. We have good legs when we can do squats for days. But that doesn't mean that the body's functioning like a body. If we have good parts, that's great. But it's not going to be a body until those parts come together. So that's those references in Scripture that the body functions together. That's the purpose. It's not just to have great parts. It's to function together. When the body comes together and we build each other up in love and we come together and every part is doing their work in the Ephesians passage there. Every part comes together just as God has gifted every part. And that's when we see the body built up. Not when the individual parts are being strong, but when those individual parts are working together and working towards a common goal. That's when we see the body being built up. And that's what I want to see in this next year. Just some examples on this idea here. I've been with the focus group on publicity, and as we have been growing and talking, and some of our publicity people, they're just kind of scattered throughout. And as we've been talking, we're like, you know what? A lot of what we're talking about is going to overlap quite a bit with the aesthetics group. We've got another focus group that's focusing on the aesthetics of our church. And there's a lot of overlap there because we're like, okay, if we have publicity going this way and kind of looking at this direction, and we have the aesthetics kind of changing the building to kind of have this appearance, and if these two aren't working together, then we're just going to cancel each other out. And then all the work and effort that's going in over here could be great. But if it's not working in with this group could be doing something totally different in an opposite direction. And we got people that we're publicizing to, and they come in here and they're like, oh, yay. And they get here and it's not what was publicized. And they're like, oh, well, this was quite different than what I was, shared about. What was given to me in this postcard or this handout that someone gave to me, that little invite card from their church or whatever. And so we've realized there, at that level, these new ministries that we're talking about, we need to make sure that we're in connection with this group, with the aesthetics group, because we need to be working hand in hand. There's going to be some overlap. So there's already been some realization there. Mentioned earlier about the prayer quilt ministry. Don't want to put more things on you guys. You guys do a great job. They do what they do, and they do it well. Let them do it. Amen? So what if we had another ministry group or other ministry groups? Maybe we have another ministry group that gets together and maybe God puts it on your heart and you say, you know what, I want to form a grieving ministry. And then you say, okay, I'm going to work in connection with the prayer quilt ministry and the prayer quilts that go out to people who have lost a loved one or are going through a grieving process. We're going to be the ministry to go and make that next touch and let them know, hey, we've got a grieving ministry at our church and we want you to know that you're welcome to come and we want to help provide healing. We want to help provide the next step. We've been praying for you, and we know that the prayer quilt was a comfort to you. We want to help you to heal. We want to help you to take that to the next step. How cool would that be? Or maybe we resurrect the meal ministry. We used to have a meal ministry, and we do it individually for kind of people in our Sunday schools. But a meal ministry for when people get out of the hospital. If they've had a surgery or they've been in the hospital for something, a car wreck, something crazy, and they're home. And we used to have a meal ministry where we'd provide meals for church members that went through that. But what if we got crazy and we did it for total strangers? What kind of impact would that have from someone that either had a really bad church experience when they were 12 or 13 or a teenager and never went back to church after they went off to college? And now they're in their 40s or 50s and they have a church that not only gives them this awesome prayer quilt and lets them know, hey, you matter to us. We've been praying for you. We care for you. And then another ministry group comes about a little bit later and says, hey, we know that you just got out of the hospital. We want to provide meals for you. What would be best for you? 3 times a week, 5 times a week. 2 or 3 weeks worth of this, what do you need? How can we care for you? How can we make a connection with you? How can we invest in you? How can we connect with you? How can we help to grow God's kingdom by reaching out to you? How cool. All sorts of things that we could do there. I think there was another idea there too, but. Just a ministry group that could reach out to people that are going through tough times. If we had some addiction recovery here that could help with that, or different, all sorts of different things that could happen there. It's just going to take us, that's not all going to come from here. It's not going to come from the leadership. That needs to come from our church. Getting creative and saying, oh, here's a way we can work together, more together as a group. So that's one in the body. Another part of that is that healthy ministry changes need to be supported as a whole body. So let's write that down. Healthy ministry changes need to be supported as a whole body. I've seen many good ideas come and go during my time here. Some I was a part of, some I had no part in at all. It doesn't matter who brings the idea. A good idea is a good idea, right? I've seen many, many of those ideas come through. And I've seen they've had solid plans built around them. A lot of effort, a lot of emotion. They've had a great deal of thought, a great deal of prayer. That it was obvious that this is what God was leading this person or this group towards. These ideas have been, some of them, a lot of them have been very clearly communicated with a lot of enthusiasm and excitement behind them. Plans that were led in healthy ways. Plans that would be healthy for the kingdom, healthy for our church. And I've watched every one of these ideas die quick deaths, very quick deaths. Because no matter how great the idea is, if the church as a body, as one body, doesn't support any of those ideas, they're not going to go anywhere. And that wears. That wears on anybody. I mean, Terry had some nods there trying to be discreet, but it wears on you in leadership. You see, good thing, good thing, good thing, good thing. It's just, You know, and it's heartbreaking to see great ideas. And what is tough with that, too, I don't want to harp too much, but when you have a great idea and it meets an obstacle or pushback, it makes it more difficult for that great idea to come back later because the very first thing you say is, well, we tried that and it didn't work. No, we didn't really try it. It got shot down because there wasn't support. That's why it didn't work. It didn't work because it was a bad idea. It didn't work because it, and that makes it very difficult because you're like, okay, now we have to come up with new ideas that have never been tried here because the realization that any idea we've had in the past is going to get immediate, although we tried that, it didn't work. So can we just right now just etch-a-sketch that from our words? Can we do that? Any old idea is back on the table. Okay, any idea, any good idea that we've had in the past is back on the table. We can do any of it. And if anything comes up, to be able to say, does this fit our mission statement? Does it fit our core values? Does it fit the vision, the direction that God's wanting to take us? If so, let's give it a college try as a church this time. Amen? Because I really think there's some great things coming. We've had some great opportunities. I don't want to focus on those. I want to focus on what's to come. Amen? And the only way that's going to happen is to get behind it and support that fully as a church body together as one. Two quick ones here. We'll hit these and I'll shut up. And this is a tough one to bring up, but it's an elephant in the room. One of the things to overcome is we're going to need to rebuild our reputation. That is what it is. Rebuild our reputation. Our church reputation needs to be redefined. I'm not bad-mouthing our church. You guys know, of all the people here, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Miami Town Church of Christ. But the truth is, our church has not had the best reputation over the last few decades. And it's time to end that. Can I get amen on that? I've heard many people say that when they talk to their friends or they talk to people outside and they say, hey, are you still going to Miami Town Church of Christ? And they say, well, yeah, I'm still going there. Why? And some of you guys are like, is he talking about? I never told him about that conversation. Okay, but that's not good. Okay, we just listed off some good strengths. We care, we pray, we're authentic, we warmly welcome people. We've got good stuff happening here. Church, that's good stuff. We don't need to be walking in the shadow of what once was. There we go. That's what was trying to come out of my mouth. Church, we got something good here. It's time to change the reputation. It's time to share, this is the new Miami Town Church of Christ. This is what Miami Town Church of Christ looks like now. This is our personality now. And it's only going to come by this last part, is being excited and invites. Or however that's worded for the next one. Personal excitement and invites. Personal excitement and invites. We do not have a church that we should be embarrassed of. We have a good church with good people and good things happening here. And I think we've been conditioned. I think we're into this secretariat. I have to finish second every time. I think once we get a chance to win, is no one picking? I got a lot of blank faces here. Mike's getting me. I know he's not looking at me, but I know he knows what I'm talking about. Secretariat, am I right on the correct horse? Secretariat was a horse that would race and purposely finish second to train other horses. Is that Secretariat? Which one was that? Seabiscuit, there we go. Okay, now do you guys understand the reference? No. So I have to explain that one then. Okay, so Seabiscuit, get my right horse, my correct horse. Correct Triple Crown winner, right? Seabiscuit? No? Just the Derby? Okay, but Seabiscuit was just... He won a race, though. Okay, that's where it was. Okay. Okay, I blew that one up. The idea, I thought this was the idea behind that horse, was they finished second every time because that's what they were trained to do. But then once they learned they could win, it changed their whole perspective on things. Okay? Well, whether or not that's the true thing or not, you can just take that because the truth of that can be true for us.
That was
flame. Just pulling a name out, just trying to help me out here. But the idea is we don't have to stay back here, church. We have good stuff, and it's God-given good stuff. It's scripturally good stuff. It's stuff that churches should be good at. And we've got that. And we've got that to offer. And there's no reason at all why we should not be excited as individuals about what God is doing here. We should not be ashamed of what God is doing here. God's doing great things. He's moving forward. And that's going to make a difference in how people view our church. How can we expect other people to view our church in a positive light if we're not out there leading the run, you know? Say, hey, you still going to Miami Town? Oh, man, yes. We got this and this and this. We got this new da-da-da. You know, you hit it off like that, you're not going to get a chance to go the, really? Don't even give them the chance. You still going to Miami Town? Absolutely. We just got a new youth minister. He's awesome. Things are going great here. We've got this going on. We've got this going on and this. And we're expecting to continue to move forward. And it's just a great place to be. You ought to come down and check it out. Excitement and invites. Write this down and I'll shut up. Being excited about our church family and inviting people on a regular basis needs to be part of our culture. This past year, I guess I should put an S on that. And the year ahead, 2020 looks really good. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for all the things that you've done here. We have so many reasons to celebrate, so many things to be excited about what you have done and what you are doing, what you're going to do. Father, it's been really exciting to be able to see the baptistry being used lately and seeing people come to know you. We know that this is a good time to be here and be a part of your family at Miami Town. Father, we know that even in the times when we had whatever doubts we had, we know that you still believed in the hearts that were here. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thanks for leading us to where we are. Thanks for bringing this exact group of people together. I pray that we would experience the synergy that you have intended for your church. That new ripples of the new Miami Town Church of Christ. We'll be reaching out and reaching people that knew us before, but then also people that have never even heard of us. Father, I pray that you would build in us a collective excitement, and that we would be inviting people to our church. Give us courage, give us boldness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.